Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today's guest is Lisa Hutter, and she is a partner over at Iron Oak Wealth. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
All right, Lisa. So we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics today. We're going to get into talking about financial planning, why it matters, and what people can do. And I got a whole lot of questions about that, but we're going to start this episode the way that we start them all with what we call our Mission Matters Minute. So Lisa, at Mission Matters, our goal and our aim is to amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's what we do. Lisa, what mission matters to you?
Well, Adam, I'll tell you, I have a lot of missions that matter to me, but the one we're talking about today is a really important one. My mission is to support people in learning about financial matters and how to plan to achieve their goals. Because, you know, there's so many opportunities to save for retirement, education, for a new home, for your loved ones, for charities. But a lot of folks just don't know all of the pathways, or they've not had a coach who could work with them to purposefully execute on achieving those goals one step at a time. So I really love empowering others, sharing tools and resources to allow them to get things accomplished. And there's nothing more amazing than when it winds up even better than they could have imagined.
Where did this concept or this thought process of wanting to help people like with their finances in general, like where'd that come from for you?
You know, I will tell you that sort of deep down, I've always loved helping people. I do believe that I get that from my grandfather. That's who he was. I was very close to him. And as the story goes, he used to deliver coal in the winter and ice in the summer. And
that's amazing.
Often said, amazing, right? And it was actually often said that sometimes on a cold night, the other men would come home on horseback and they would have their blankets around their shoulders. And my grandfather would have his blanket on his horse. And it's just a really terrific story that brings out what was important to him and what I was raised with. And so what's important to me is helping others. And that financial piece just has so much impact. And I've seen it in so many various ways. And because of my background as an attorney, as a wealth planner, in executive leadership with taxes and finance and budget and investments, it's really the one place where I can help make a huge impact and see a big difference in people's lives.
Talk about like the industry as a whole. Like you mentioned being an attorney and otherwise, like what led you specifically to like thinking about, you know, I want to, as you obviously your knowledge and your acumen grew to saying, you know what, I want to help people with financial planning. Like where'd that come from?
It's funny, I took a class in law school. In my second year of law school, we had income tax, and we had one class on estate planning, and I remember walking out of the class and saying, that's what I want to do. And
really?
At the time,
you were hooked from the beginning? That's interesting. Go ahead. It's amazing.
From the beginning, and my boyfriend at the time said, you're crazy. It was 1 hour, and before that, I wanted to become a district attorney. So, like, criminal law to estate planning, what? And I just said, I don't know, there's something really cool about, you know, the tax law and helping to plan around it and being strategic about it. And then I found myself at a big accounting firm because I wanted to learn the accounting and tax side. And then eventually got into the trust world, served as sort of a player coach, as a manager, and as a, you know, a client advocate, managed teams of planners, got into financial planning, and then several years ago said, you know what? I really, really love helping clients. I helped a lot of advisors build books over the years. Now I want to build my own, and I want to just take care of my own clients. And so that's sort of how it evolved and where we are today.
Why do you find, and obviously you've been doing this for a while now, why do you find that, and this is one of the things, so just a quick background, I know my audience knows this already, my long-term listeners, I should say, but I mean, I was in finance for almost 14 years. I mean, I started in the, you know, IRA department of Raymond James when I was 16, and I was just, you know, worked my way up. And so I was a financial planner, you name it, the license, everything else for a long, long time. And one of the things that used to always like be kind of like, I don't know if I'd say my pain point, but I was just, it always kept me so fired up was I'm like, how can people not have financial plans like they need it? It's so important. The sooner they do this, like, the better. But even if they haven't done it yet, they need to do it, because better late than never on something like this, especially when we go to, if we talk about the full like life cycle, and then, you know, obviously somebody, you know, passing unfortunately without an estate plan or anything in place. And it's like, oh my gosh, what a mess. So much value that's lost in terms of the next generation and all that hard work that they put, that if it's not planned right, maybe the full what should be, you know, going to that next generation or charity or whatever, whoever it should be going to, doesn't happen the way that you would have wanted it to. So that's my setup for the question. And you can obviously tell I'm passionate about this, but why do you feel so many people don't have plans out there?
I really think it comes down to it seems really daunting. A lot of folks don't think that they can achieve their dreams. They think that there is such a wide gap between what they have built or what they have today and what they want to achieve. And I've had many conversations. I have a client who, when she first came to me, she said, "My prior financial advisor told me I would never be able to retire." And we did her financial plan, and I said, "Guess what? You can retire at 60. And she was like, "What?" And I said, "You know, it's those two sides of the equation, right? It's not only what you have and what you've made. It's also what you spend and what your goals are." You know, I had other clients come to me, and they had a fair amount of debt. You know, high-level, high-income wage earners have done tremendous amount for their children, and just came to me and said, "We don't know what to do first. We don't know to pay down our credit cards, to pay off our mortgage, right, to start saving for college, to start saving for this or that. What should we do?" And it was really about sort of helping them prioritize and find direction, and then write down the steps around what they wanted to execute and how they were going to do it. And, you know, 6 months later, they said, "Oh my gosh, I feel so much better about having clarity and purpose. And look how much we've already saved." They've already paid down half of their credit card debt. They refinanced some. They bought another piece of property for one of their children. Just like amazing, amazing things that I see happen when folks will, you know, sit down, devote the time to really think about it, and then put a plan on paper. Right. And as they say, once you tell someone about your plan, now you're sort of halfway there, because now if somebody else knows about it, you've got to try to get that done. And then, you know, just being really purposeful about checking in. I have one client who calls me her financial coach, and we check in every other week. And it's really helped her also to get a lot done and to get a lot just resolved and organized and clarity around doing different things. And then when something comes up, you know, right, somebody reads an article or she hears something somewhere, it's like, "Hey, should we be thinking about this?" And we always explore everything. You know, even if off the cuff it doesn't seem like it would fit, it's always worth a conversation. So I think that's why, and it's, you know, it's never too late for planning. I mean, like you said, some folks will sort of wait, right? Sometimes they wait and they feel like, well, now it's too late. But some of my clients are retired business owners, and just now, you know, having done a plan. So it's never too late.
For those that have never been through a plan or a financial plan or that process, maybe give a little bit of just kind of a flavor of what that looks like, because I feel like that can also be daunting and scary if somebody's never done it.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? I often call my initial financial data gathering conversation the bathing suit conversation.
The what? Wait, what'd you say? What'd you call it?
The bathing suit conversation.
Oh, that's funny. What does that mean? This is good.
Right? One of my clients said, actually, I'm going to call it the birthday suit conversation because I get to know so much. I said, look, I'm going to ask you a lot of really personal questions, right? And I know there's been studies done that one of the topics that people are very uncomfortable to talking about, sometimes the primary topic they're uncomfortable talking about, is finances.
Yeah, so, especially in culture, right, in the United States. For in the United States, that's definitely the way I feel it is. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, completely. And so when I'm going to now, I have to ask you a lot of things about how much money you make, how much money you spend, you know, how much money you've got saved, where you have that saved, what do you think about your, you know, your goals, when do you want to retire? So many times I'll say to folks, what age would you love to retire? And they go, "I don't know."
You know what they call this, Lisa, in some Asian cultures, they call this a first date. That's what's it like. That's you meet and it's like, oh, so good. And depending on if there's arranged marriages or things like that, like even the parents are asking this in advance, like just depends on the culture. But for some in the United States, though, we're shy about things like this. Like it's different, but like in some, it's that's called first date.
Yes, that's funny. Yes, that's exactly.
And
exactly
it's true.
Right. In some cultures, it is. Yes, right. It's right. Arranged marriage, whatever it is, right? You got to know everything. Yeah. You know, and that's the beginning. And it's so the first conversation is a lot of me asking questions and them talking.
Mm.
And what it does, too, is on the flip side, is it gives me a really good feel about how they think emotionally around topics. They may say one thing, but how they talk about it or how they're acting about it is very, very different. And so it allows me to read them and understand. Like, I have one client, and it's funny, when we started talking, he said, I hate paying taxes. I mean, he's like, I pay my fair share, but, you know, I don't want to pay anything more than I have to pay. And it was just something that came through. So, you know, one day I called him. I said, hey, we got to talk about a Roth IRA conversion. I said, I know you hate paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
but
not
you're like,
fair.
But you're creating a tax bomb, buddy.
That's right. Exactly.
You're creating a tax bomb. You think you hate it now, you're going to hate it a whole lot more in the future. We got to talk.
Exactly. Exactly right. And just, you know, that, and as I tell my clients, that allows me to know when I spot something or I hear something, because I know my clients so well, I go, oh, this is something I need to talk about with, you know, John and Jane and Jerry, because I know that this would really resonate with them. So oftentimes I'll say I'm sort of also like a consigliere, but without the organized crime piece. And then I really just get to know my clients so, so well that I can often bring them value in that way, because I understand what motivates them and what scares them. And I'm right there alongside them to help them achieve what they want to achieve.
Mm. And let's say, so components of a plan, are you working on the estate side? Are you working as well on the, obviously on the investment management side, on the like kind of let us into like your process?
Yeah. And I don't know that I sort of talked about the first conversation, right? And then from there, oftentimes it's looking at then what we call a draft financial plan, looking at what does it look like on paper? Can we achieve all of these goals? What's the score? What's the success score telling us? And then we can adjust from there. And then a lot of times folks will say, you know what, I didn't tell you this, but I have always dreamed about buying a second home, or we were thinking about adding on to our home, or, you know, we really want to take a vacation and go on an African safari, but we just never thought we could afford it. Could we look at that? Could we put that into the plan and see if we can actually do it? And so there's a lot that happens with the plan even after we've got all the inputs and we've talked through the first piece of it. There's refreshes, right? The investment management. We do have most of our clients are also doing investment management with us. We are managing their wealth. And that also, I mean, right, in a year like we've just had in the stock market, terrific. I've rerun plans and said, guess what? Right now you can retire a couple years early because this year was a great year for us. So, but we also have, every now and then we'll have clients that come and say, look, I do my own investment management, or I've had a financial advisor for a long time. I don't want to leave them, but they don't do financial planning. Or I have assets that are all illiquid. I don't have anything for you to manage, but I really feel like I need a financial plan. So in those circumstances, we will do a fee-based only financial plan where we do not require investments under management. Where we have investments under management, our philosophy is a lot about being very customized and creative, but not in a scary sense with our investments. We're an RIA, which means we're a fiduciary. That means we hold ourselves to standards even higher than how we would spend our own money for our clients, right? Their money we safeguard even more than we would our own money. It's even a higher standard. So we do a lot of research on, you know, what are some of the sectors that are growing? What are some of the strong companies there? What are some of the values that we're seeing? Or if clients are more conservative, what are ways that we can get them some of that income to help them to continue to live their lives and live their dreams? So we do that. We also do a fair amount of insurance and annuities, especially now with interest rates higher. Annuities are pretty good in some senses, and sometimes they fit, not always, but sometimes they do. So sort of everything you would think on that financial side of things.
Hmm. That's great. Well, Lisa, I just have to say this has been great having you on the show today. I'm a huge, huge proponent of financial planning for everybody out there. If you haven't gone down that route yet, highly recommend figuring it out. And that being said, Lisa, if somebody does want to contact you and your firm to start figuring it out, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. They can go to our website, ironoakwealth.com. They can email me, very easy, Lisa@ironoakwealth.com. They can also find us on LinkedIn, and always happy to have a one-on-one conversation and get to know you.
Love it. So, and if everybody listening, we'll put, of course, that information in the show notes so that you can just click on the link and head right on over to the website. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, you know, why they do what they do and what we can all learn from that so that we can all grow together. And definitely, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. This is a daily show. So each and every day we're bringing you new episodes and new content, and we don't want you to miss out on anything. So definitely hit that subscribe button. And Lisa, again, really appreciate you coming on the show and helping, doing what you do day in and day out, because I know it's not easy, and helping clients and helping individuals achieve their goals. So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for always inspiring us to be better people. I appreciate you.